coming to you from the HagmanReport.com studio. Located in the Keystone State, birthplace of a mighty nation, it's your host, Doug Hagman.
Hey, welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to this Tuesday edition of the Hagman Report. It is Tuesday, April 12th, 2022. Doug Hagman, thank you so much for your belief and your trust in this platform. Have a very special segment for you lined up. Something that you're not going to hear elsewhere, or if you do, it's going to be muted. It's going to be sanitized. It needs to be told the way it really is. Folks, you're going to see as well. I'm sure you've already seen this on the mainstream media of the death and destruction going on, Ukraine, Russia, elsewhere. Okay, it's an outrage. The murder is an outrage. But there's something else here that really needs to be exposed. And with me right now is Coach Dave Dobenmeyer. That's CoachDaveLive.com, Past Assault Ministries. Again, Coach Dave Dobenmeyer, as I refer to him as America's coach, one of the leading Christian evangelical activists. And I say activists in the positive sense, because we as Christians need to be active in fighting the evil that's out there. Also with him is a gentleman by the name of A.J. Hurley, survivors.la. The links for both will be in the program description box at HagmanReport.com. You just open up the video for today and it'll be there. This will also be a standalone segment. I urge everyone to take this segment and show everyone they can. Now, it's going to be graphic, but I'm going to tell you something. It's needed in today's environment because we're looking at evil, and there's nothing more evil than the murdering of the defenseless and unborn. Instead of it being condemned, it's being celebrated by the trans, perverted left, by the perverted globalists. And of course, as you know, currency is, or the children and the blood of children is the currency of the globalists. And I've in that vein too, tomorrow, which will be Wednesday, this program, this platform will be dark for reasons of working in the field with the Shatter team on some potential rescues of some child trafficking victims. Okay, so that's what that's going to be. So, and then on Thursday, Steve Quayle will be with me, and it's going to be a superb program. But without any further ado, Coach Dave Dobenmeyer, CoachDaveLive.com is his website. I'm going to have him set this up, and we're going to go get right into it. Coach, thanks for joining me.
Doug, are you kidding me, man? Just I want everybody to know that Doug Hagman is one of the good guys, folks. One of the good guys. There's a lot of people that I watch on the internet that, you know, sometimes I don't know, but I can tell you this, that just a matter of one phone call and an explanation to Doug of what we had, we were here. So Doug, I want to thank you for doing that. I have joining with us today is a gentleman named AJ Hurley, and I didn't really know AJ till a friend of mine, Mark Harrington, with the pro-life group Created Equal introduced me to AJ. And the story he's about to tell here is absolutely graphic and unbelievable. But AJ was, for lack of a better term, he'll explain it all to you, came into possession of 115 aborted babies, 115. We'll let AJ tell the story. And one of the reasons that he came in possession of them, one of the things that they wanted to do is to give them a proper burial. And they were able to do that. But when AJ and his wife, I would assume, AJ's 38 years old. He's not some spring chicken, but thank God he's a lot younger than I am. When they got involved with it and found out what was in it, they found what they believed to be at least five, what they call them late term, whatever the heck that means, fully grown little human beings. It's going to be in a video we're going to show you. And AJ presented, after they were done, after he cataloged it all, he presented the information to the Washington medical examiner. And even to the mayor's office in Washington, D.C., saying that he believes that this is homicide, that if they would do an autopsy on these little babies, they would probably find out that they had been breathing, there's oxygen in their lungs, and that these little children were laid out on a cart and allowed to die. And all he wants is for people to do an autopsy to see, in fact, that is exactly what happened. So as I set the scene for you, AJ got word from a medical waste company. Think about that, Doug. Medical waste, meaning they're going to take these little aborted babies and they're going to heat your home with them. They're going to cool your air conditioning with them. They're going to power your computer with little unborn children. So this medical waste company was confronted by some pro-lifers that were out there, and they were able to secure a box with 115 little dead people in front of it. Before I bring AJ in, if you could, Eric, real quickly, I think I sent you a video, it's just a minute and a half, showing now this truck that you're going to see right here. These are the boxes they put the babies in. This is not a truck from the scene there in Washington, D.C. This is from another place, but this is exactly how it looks. Can you play that for me a second there, Eric?
All right, stand by. And for the radio listeners, folks, this is the outside of a box truck taken apparently with a cell phone camera. And boxes inside.
There are the boxes.
Go ahead.
The boxes. And all there's right. A guy come around the corner with a whole cartload of boxes. So AJ's team was able to secure these boxes. Not off of this truck, Doug. I want people to understand this. But this goes on every day. There's a guy carrying one of them, right? And so AJ, his crew, were able to secure one of these boxes. Now I'm going to shut up for a minute.
You
and AJ,
want to be video. You've got to choose a different
you come
job.
In, AJ.
You're an accessory to murder, brother. And your company is too.
You can shut down, Eric.
So you need
you can
to
shut
tell
that
your-
down. Go ahead, AJ.
Yeah. So this this is oh man, what's allowed in this country, basically, and what's been seen is what you're seeing in these boxes is an unveiling and a peeling back the veil into what's happening every single day in this country. And the child sacrifice that's happening at the hands of the radical left. And so this story came to me basically. My wife and I were at Margaret Sanger Planned Parenthood outside there in New York City. I got a call from a good friend of mine, and I'd never heard her so frantic in all her life saying, AJ, you need to come here now. My wife and I rushed on a train. We're there in 4.5 hours, and nothing could prepare us for what we were going to experience. My two friends, just like we normally do in the pro-life movement, we go to Sidewalk Counsel out in front of the clinic, give life-saving resources to mothers, alternatives, and even offer to adopt their children. But in the process of that, a truck from a company called Curtis Bay Energy Company pulled up. Curtis Bay has prided itself on taking biomedical waste and converting that through the process of combustion. I don't know all how it works, but they, through that process, create electrical energy for the Baltimore area.
Medical waste, medical waste being aborted babies, right, brother? We're
exactly.
Not talking about scabs off of somebody's arm.
No. Yeah. And so the truck driver went inside, came out with boxes, and my friend said to this driver, do you know what's inside of there? First of all, that's an abortion clinic, and those boxes that you've been loading for however long are aborted babies. By God's grace, he was just totally perplexed, bewildered, and visibly upset over this. And he's frantically checking through his paperwork, confirms Washington Surges Center is an abortion clinic, and is just beside himself. My friends then ask, can we please give these babies a proper Christian burial and dignity that they deserve? He had said, well, I've already scanned these boxes in. I'm going to look the other way. My friend Lauren and Teresa grabbed the box, and inside was 115 aborted children in the from the DC area at a company called, from a company, an abortion clinic called Washington Surges Center. and a doctor. I use that term very, very loosely. He's actually already had his medical license revoked, but a guy named Cesare Santangelo, an infamous doctor who has already been exposed in a number of like behind the scenes kind of videos that have been leaked. But so they took these babies out. We frantically categorized them all, took videographic evidence of all of these babies, took 110 of the first trimester babies and delivered them over to a priest to be buried. And five late term third trimester babies, one of which was full term. I've never seen anything like it. And I tell you, as I, with the utmost integrity, these babies have prima facie evidence of infanticide and partial birth abortion. What's going on in our communities is deplorable. And what we've seen by God's grace, even though this is just despicable, is an unveiling, a pulling back of the curtain, and a look into what happens at every abortion clinic, virtually every abortion clinic in America. People don't even realize that in states like DC, California, New York, that these babies are being aborted until the day of birth for any reason necessary. And I was shocked to hear that in DC, you don't even have to be a medical professional or hold a license to have abortion. We delivered these babies over to the DC PD, and it took a whole half a day for them to say, basically just cover this up, say no DC crimes have been committed. These babies were aborted legally, and we are refusing a autopsy on these children.
So Doug, if we could real quick, just give fair warning to your audience. Eric, if you'd get ready to play that video, it's very, very... Go ahead.
Okay, let me ask this question because a lot was said there. You were able to take possession of these. And again, folks, this is difficult and very graphic. The corpses, the bodies of these children, at least five, according to your assessment, appeared to be full term and could very well, pending autopsy or pending medical examination post-mortem, could show signs of infanticide. The D.C. police refused to press any to open an investigation. And yes. Now, of course...
They just want an autopsy, Doug. They just asked for an autopsy.
Right. And that the flow, now I'm not sure about D.C., but the flow usually goes from the law enforcement agency to the medical examiner, the coroner medical examiner, and then yes, into the DA's office. Okay, so none of that happened because the DC police said, nope, it's all legal, right? That's what you're saying?
Yep.
Okay.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Basically what's happened, we made arrangements. There's a lot of misinformation and lies and slander on the internet about this, but we made arrangements with DC PD to pick these babies up. And the story just gets thicker and thicker, the plot thicker and thicker. So we made arrangements to pick these babies up, and get this. It took DCPD almost 24 hours to show up, but they took 5 hours to pick one of the girls up by the FBI for something she had done, for involved in pro-life work and a clinic work that she had done 2 years, an arrest she had 2 years earlier,
completely separated from this case. Are you getting that, folks?
Yep.
So then what happened was, then after the FBI swooped her up, the DCPD showed up a number of hours later with a whole host of media running a story that some crazy lunatic pro-life chick is harboring fetuses in her DC basement.
Okay.
Deplorable.
None of it true.
And this is, so you folks, I know you've heard elements of this story out there. This is the real story now. Again, Coach Dave Dobmeier, CoachDaveLive.com, AJ Hurley. The links will be in the program description box. Go ahead. I didn't mean to interrupt, but go ahead and play what you're
going to. I want people to understand this. First of all, AJ Hurley, even though I've never met him personally, is one of the bravest guys I've ever come across, Doug. And he dug into those containers and he took out those babies and he took pictures of them and he cataloged everything. And then he presented, can you even imagine that, Doug? Can you imagine putting your hands down in a bucket and bringing those babies up? And what we're going to show you here is a shortened version done by Live Action of cataloging these babies. And folks, this is very, very graphic. Okay. They won't show it on Facebook. They won't show it on YouTube. We did a show yesterday on Bridey on TV. They showed it. Praise the Lord. They showed it. My good friend Mark Harrington told me, he said, Coach, abortion will never end until we show pictures of the victims.
And folks, don't look away.
Don't look away. This is what is going on in abortion clinics all across America. Now, why is this so critical? Well, the Supreme Court just heard a case on this very issue. Did they not, Doug? Yes. So yeah. This could not be any more germane than what we're showing you
and,
right now. So,
and let me just preface this by saying, when you see these videos, please pay attention because I'm going to further explicate the need for an autopsy based on the images you are going to see and show you prima facie evidence as to why partial birth abortion has occurred. And these babies were the product of infanticide.
It's infanticide. Right. So Eric, AJ made another video on his own. It's a little bit longer, Doug. So I chose to show this one just because it's a shorter version. But you're going to see AJ Hurley standing, holding up the medical waste that they're going to burn in their incinerators to provide electricity for Baltimore, Maryland, Washington. It's, Doug, this is so despicable. So folks, this is very, very graphic. It's just a couple minutes, but this is what AJ Hurley came across.
And AJ, narrate if there's no sound. Go ahead.
Sure. Christopher X, that's the largest of the babies. Christopher was, that's Harriet.
They named him, Doug.
My goodness. Folks, I know it's tough to look at. But this is what's going on in the name of reproductive health in this country.
That's little Harriet. She's
so this is a baby girl. She has several lacerations on the back of the skull.
One she is was a victim of partial birth
back here.
Right.
It's where they suck the brains out.
As you can see, the skull is totally broken.
By my assessment, all these children would be viable outside of the womb.
Oh, 100%. This is little Phoenix. Phoenix was delivered whole and still in the amniotic sac.
Unbelievable.
Does it ever, move or anything when it comes out?
That's why I try and sever the umbilical cord first, and we wait for
this. This is the physician that killed these pulsing, babies,
and that's why the fetus is expired first, so it doesn't. Usually, at this point, and your
pregnancy
is too early to survive. Usually,
okay,
it will expire shortly after birth. You know, technically, legally, we would be obligated to help it, to survive, but it probably wouldn't. It's all in how vigorously you do things to help a fetus survive at this point? You know, there's things you do. Obviously, you're here for a certain procedure, and if your pregnancy were, let's say you went into labor, the membranes ruptured, and you delivered before we got to the termination part of the procedure here, you know, then we would do things, we would not help it.
Just this doctor on record here saying he would not help a baby born alive, that he would just let it die. This is a number of years ago, came out and exposed by Live Action, happens to be the same exact, you know, I don't like to use the word doctor, but the same medical abortionist.
AJ, those were your fingers in those blue gloves, were they not? That was the
yes,
showing
yes,
the baby
yes, sir.
Those babies?
Yes, sir.
Those were your fingers. Doug, I don't know how much time we have, and I don't know where
we've got 10 minutes. So.
Okay. One of the things we want to try to do, I know that's near and dear to AJ's heart, is we want people to connect to call the mayor, the mayor of Washington, D.C., and just demand an autopsy, to see if, in fact, these little babies were born alive and murdered. That's what you want, AJ, right?
Yeah. And if I could even just take a moment to underscore the need for an autopsy, try to sell that. I mean, the pictures sell it themselves, but, and I hate to use that word, they describe the need, but.
Where are the bodies of the children right now? Have they been interred?
They have been confirmed at the medical examiner's office. They have not yet at this point gotten rid of the bodies yet. By God's grace, Ted Cruz came along and basically said, if we win the Senate and I'm in charge, it's going to be very bad if you get rid of those bodies, because there will be an investigation. Praise God for Ted Cruz and his bravery, and Senator James Langford also got 23, I believe he got 23 members of Congress and a number of senators behind him. But
forgive me for interrupting. That's 9 months away. All right, we have bodies in an ME's office that need examination. Okay, right now, not 9 months from now, not a year from now, right now, and we need the people who did this to be held accountable. So, folks, I'm going to tell you right now: call the mayor, Bow Wow Wowzer. Call the medical examiner. Do whatever you got to do. They're the numbers. Call them. If these pictures don't infuriate you, I don't know what the hell will move you off your couch, but please do it. Go ahead. Sorry.
No, thank you. Thank you for that. It's, you know, we've been looking at these and dealing with complex trauma, but at the same time, it's, you know, it's good to get a first person's view of this and the level of anger and reprehensible response.
Can you imagine,
from this, right?
Folks, can you imagine what you would feel like in your heart if you found laying along the road one dead puppy? Can you imagine?
Right.
Can you imagine what went on in AJ's heart when he opened up those buckets and he pulled out of there five, basically full-grown human beings, right? Little babies created in the image of God. The trauma AJ has been through. That's why he say, I don't even know him, but I don't know if I've ever met a braver guy than AJ, that he would do this and not only do that, follow up and explain to the world, this is going on all across America, even as we speak.
There's five babies. We've named them all. I want to describe the need for this in depth, and I don't want to miss the opportunity. Christopher X was the largest of those babies. I had a private OBGYN date him at least 34 weeks. I've been a medical professional and a neonatal respiratory therapist for the last 7 years. And I can tell you every single one of these five babies would have survived if given the chance. Three of them with little to no medical intervention at all. Christopher X, completely full-term baby. You have and pink. So with you have Phoenix was still in the amniotic sac. So what's important to understand about this abortion is you cannot have a labor induction that does not perforate the amniotic sac without delivering that baby alive.
Amen.
Because in order to kill the baby, you would need to cut the umbilical cord in utero. So how can you cut an umbilical cord in utero without perforating the amniotic sac? You can't get around it. So this baby was purple and blue because it was delivered. They give up to 600 milligrams of misoprostol to induce labor, deliver this baby, cut the umbilical cord, leave this baby out on a table to expire and suffocate in its own amniotic fluid. That was one of the babies. You have Harriet, precious little Harriet. That's the one I was describing in that. That was my voice describing this baby. Had the back of its head snipped, this back of its skull snipped in premature fashion, evidence of partial birth abortion. Without an autopsy, you cannot check for air in the lungs. You cannot check for if these babies were given the chemical to kill them prior to delivery called digoxin. This chemical digoxin stops the baby's heart. So the next day when they induce labor, they don't give birth to a live baby. But without an autopsy, you cannot test these babies to determine if this chemical, this medication was given. They need to check for air in the lungs. They need to check for this medication digoxin. They need to do a number of other tests to see and visible evidence to see if these babies were the evidence of infanticide. Federal crimes against infanticide and partial birth abortion happened. DC, you are witnessing a cover up in plain sight, and Mayor Bowser is covering for big abortion. If the American people do not rise up now, I'm telling you, there are three states right now, guys. Three states, California, Maryland, and Colorado, all have infanticide bills they are trying to pass. And this is horrible for them. Now you understand why they're trying to cover this up, because the left is desperately in a war against children, and they are doing so in the most graphic and despicably demonic ways. If we do not stand up now and bring light on this and let the world see, we are losing America. America's lost its heart.
This is why we need everyone who's watching this report right now. Share this segment. Listen. Don't worry about how many people you upset or how many women who've had or post-abortive, and you know it's hard for them to look at the images, and we feel bad for those women. We understand it. But my God, how could any of us dare to ask God to bless America when this kind of stuff is going on, Doug? And I believe that we have the opportunity right now to raise a stink like we have never raised and turn back this evil here.
And when you turn your television on this week and see the war in Ukraine, what you will witness is victim image after victim image after victim images designed to do what it is designed to do: invoke a response, an outrage that is equal to the crime that had been committed. But for some reason, it's conveniently not part of the narrative when abortion is involved. They do not want you to see these images because it shows what they do not want you to know, that the humanity of these unborn children and the gross violations of human rights, the most despicable violation. I can witness these babies. I've held them in my hands, and I can tell you that abortion is the most demonic and evil thing that anyone could ever do to an image bearers of God, and it has to stop, and it has to stop now.
Okay, gentlemen, we're going to have to stop right there. AJ Hurley, survivors.la. It's going to be in the program description box. Coach Dave Live. Coach Dave has a great segment on this. Whether it's this segment or Coach's segment, please get it out there. The same with AJ Hurley. Call. Action is what we need. Gentlemen, we need to put the pressure on to have these victims examined and charges laid against the individuals who are responsible for this, because this is obviously infanticide. This is homicide, in my view, based on what I've seen just in those images. And so for all of the BS about the story about some crazy person with fetuses in the basement, okay, this is the real story. You just heard it. AJ Hurley and Coach Dave Dobmeier. thank you both for doing this, and God bless your courage and your conviction, and let's keep pressing on, and let's have everyone. But by the way, people can contact both of you by way of your websites, correct?
Yes, sir.
What websites? And you can find me, the best way to find me is on Instagram, AJ Hurley on Instagram and survivors.la on Instagram. You'll get the most up-to-date breaking okay. news.
All right.
Folks, share with other podcasters. Let AJ's voice get out there to exactly what's going on.
Two of the bravest men on the planet. I thank you both. And thank you for your courage, and thank you for your activities in exposing this homicidal craziness and satanic craziness. God bless you both. Thank you very
God
much.
God bless you, brother. All thank right. you so
Thanks,
much.
Doug. Thanks, Doug.
Folks, that was Coach Dave Dobmeier. CoachDaveLive.com, AJ Hurley, Survivors.LA. Words fail me, but you know what? Actions don't. And I'm quite, in case you can't tell, I'm quite upset and peeved about what I just saw. Compared to what you heard, sound familiar? No, that's the real deal. All right, folks. You know, I want to thank our the people who support this platform, and because we're able to support people who go out and do things to change the course, the trajectory of what's going on in America and elsewhere. And I thank you for supporting our platform, and I thank our very few corporate sponsors, hand selected, by the way. You know, I don't talk about anything I don't use. Honey, join honey.com. is one of those sponsors. I'll tell you what, you know, you shop online, and I know everyone does. Oh, don't tell me you don't, because I know you do. Today's episode, by the way, is sponsored by Honey. You know, online shopping to me sometimes presents some issues. Okay. I want to make sure I'm getting the best deal. And in order to do that, you know, I seek out program or promo codes and such. And sometimes I feel like, oh man, I'm missing out on some good deals. Well, thanks to Honey, manually searching for coupon codes is the thing of the past. Honey is a free shopping tool that scours the internet for promo codes and applies the best one that finds to your cart. It's a seamless approach to online shopping, one that you will thank me for. I guarantee it. Here's how it works. Just picture yourself shopping at one of your favorite sites. When you check out, the Honey button drops down. And all you have to do is click apply coupons, wait a few seconds, and Honey searches for coupons it can find for that site. If Honey finds a working coupon, you'll watch the prices drop. And Honey has done this for us for studio equipment, camera equipment, cables, and even food delivery. Yes, we saved $5 we had on food delivery, and this was Monday. That was yesterday. How time flies. Actually, we did, using Honey. And because we had a kind of a meeting here, and we had some investigators in, and so, but that does not beat the nearly $70 savings on a single piece of studio equipment here last month. So have at it. Honey offers, they even offer cash back at thousands of stores. It's like earning cash rewards just for shopping. Here's what you need to do. If you don't already have Honey, you could be straight up missing out. And by getting it, you'll be doing yourself a solid and supporting this podcast. I'd never recommend something I don't already use. Get Honey for free at joinhoney.com/Hagman. That is joinhoney.com/Hagman. Remember, two N's on Hagman. And as I like to say, you will thank me later. You'll be glad you did. It's really one of the easiest things I've ever done by putting Honey on and using Honey in my online shopping. So that's joinhoney.com/Hagman. I want to thank them for being sponsors of this program. And coming up, and you know what? If it's Tuesday, it's Tuesdays with Stan. Remember that Tuesdays with Maury? Anyway, Tuesdays with Stan. Stan Dale from standale.com and his wife, Holly, they have a great website, standale.com. Holly works tirelessly to put out news items of note, of importance, videos, pictures, stories, articles, you name it, it's there. Stan and Holly also have a Patreon site. And you know what? They give some of the best Patreon meetings for their supporters by Patreon. They have a monthly meeting. And I'll tell you something. If you don't learn something, or if you don't come away from that without being more informed, then I don't know, because it's great. And of course, Stan's products and Holly's products, daretoprepare.com is a sister website as well. There you can download some great information for events of today, how to prepare. But the book Dare to Prepare is out, and I gotta tell you, it's needed in today's environment. So Dare to Prepare, you need to do that. And of course, all of Stan's works, whether they be DVDs, books, whatever the case might be, you need them as well. That's standeo.com. And I want to thank them for all they do. They're extremely, extremely great people. Oh, yes. And if you haven't done so already, Father's Day is a couple of months away. Mother's Day, what, next month? Get an EMP shield. You know something? This is probably one of the easiest things for you to do. Go to EMPShield.com and use a promo code Hagman for $50 off. I got to tell you something. You got a computer. You got a TV. You got electronics. You got a generator. You got all kinds of stuff in your house. You want to protect that from EMP stuff? You know, the bad EMP things that happen? EMPShield.com is the simplest way to do it. It's not rocket science, but in my view, it's right up there with it in terms of importance. EMPShield.com, go there and use promo code Hagman for $50 off. Buy a half a dozen. Seriously, buy as many as you can, but make sure your stuff is your equipment is protected. And of course, give them away for birthday gifts, Christmas gifts. Christmas gifts, and Easter gifts. I don't know. Mother's Day, Father's Day, just because day. All right. So I can mark that off, right? Checks in the mail. No, I'm kidding. All right, there we go. But no, it's really important to use that. All right. Probably the most favorite segment of Lady the Studio Dog's time is Stan Dale. She's over here with a bone watching the preview monitor, waiting for Stan to come on. Stan Dale from standale.com. Not going to take a minute more of your time. Thanks for coming on, sir. And thanks for being with me. And thanks for all you do.
Oh, you're most welcome. Thank you for what you do, too. We thank each other for our service, I'm sure. Well, and I hope she enjoys that bone, because Bella sure enjoys the same kind of bones.
I'll tell you what. Sometimes. She okay, so the I don't know how much it weighs, but she carries that around with her, and like a barbell, and then she tries to jump on the bed with it. It's just funny to watch. It really is.
Yeah. Well, little Bella, she'll take that bone, and there'd be a little thin film of, you know, matter or something on the bone, and she'll get down under her teeth, and she'll go, and we had to sit there and watch this kind of gnaw. You know, cool. But anyway, we try every week to give her a new bone.
Yeah, and that's what. I make Lady wait for like 2 weeks, but she'll put them in certain places, and then go back to them. It's just so much fun. The dogs are so great. They really are. But all right, sir. Yeah. What's on your radar? I mean, not that there's anything happening, right?
No. There's been pretty quiet out there.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, right. Well, I think most of today, latter part, will be on the sun and the problems with the sun and the heating of our planets in Saturn and Neptune. Well, a little bit Neptune, but Jupiter for sure. There's definitely something changing on the sun, and every week I say, It's worse this week, and this week the sunspot count is up again. Anyway, we'll talk about that later. There are some things forming that are going to fulfill a prophecy. Eric, if you can get over to the show images page, the slide 55, and click on the text. We'll have a look at that article. It says, European Union unveils new strategy to become a global power. Now, it's not a long article, but, you know, it says, we want to gather our European nations together into a voting bloc, into a common military bloc, and actually one in not inside NATO. They're going to form their own thing. They're going to separate from the United States and NATO on this. It's a 27-member bloc, you'll see in the article. And to me, this is laying the groundwork for the western leg of the revived Roman Empire. In the center of the revived Roman Empire, I think it's going to be in Turkey. And then the eastern leg will be over into the Middle East. And it's going to be interesting. I think Turkey will fall in the eastern leg, and the other nations, you know, Germany, whatever, will be in the western leg. But this tells me that we're very close to laying the groundwork for a global dictatorship to form. And it looks like everybody is abandoning the United States. And this will be sad, because I think what we'll see happening is America destroyed as Babylon, the modern version. And then the rest of prophecy is going to deal with Europe, Middle East, China, Russia. So anyway, this is just another step toward the establishment of the revived Roman Empire.
These seem to be happening quick. These are happening quick.
They are. I mean, you know, Jesus said, as it is, you know, with a woman in labor, toward the end, it's the birth pangs, and they come closer and closer, faster and faster, harder and harder, until, you know, the event is born. So I guess we shouldn't be surprised. It's a matter of adjusting our mental map of time, these times, you know. What is fast? And now it looks like fast is every darn day. Not these year, you know, this year we saw this or that, it's, or this month, it's today we saw another fulfillment.
Yeah.
Bad news out there, bad news.
Yep, yep, indeed.
Right. Now, slide 56 is on the World Economic Forum, and they're calling for digital one world currency. And you can see by the picture in the article that they're looking at merging all of the currencies of the world into a common digital currency. Now, never before in the history of man have we had so much computing power and so sophisticated information gathering systems that we could make every person, whether they lived in the bush with the, you know, the natives, or whether they lived, you know, in the United States, the height of technology, every person, no matter where they are, will be able to buy and sell, and can only buy and sell, using this digital currency. Now, this is so close. We're measuring it in maybe weeks, a couple months maybe, but the pressure out there is for the U.S. dollar to be abandoned, to be just devalued unbelievably. The Russian oil is now being sold on the ruble, you know, the Russian dollar, petrodollar, not the American. The Chinese wanted to go to the yuan, the Chinese petrodollar, but they're moving away. It shows they're moving away from the United States, getting clear of the fallout that's about to happen when the global economy that is U.S. dollar base collapses. I mean, Biden and his people have certainly done their bit to destroy the American dollar in this last year, but all along there's been moves to weaken the U.S. dollar and eventually to turn us over to the United Nations of the world, or whatever they're going to call the new thing, the United Earth or Planet Earth Organization, to turn us over to them. I'm seeing evidence of this with Biden's statements about wanting to enforce UN gun registration laws on the people of the United States. He's being very heavy about that. And basically, I think when we see this global collapse, our gold and silver, no matter whether you've got them in-house or out at some storage place, they're going to become worthless, because they're going to say gold and silver are to be used by people that want to be terrorists and be outside the system. They're going to say, therefore, gold and silver use is illegal. They've done this before in the 30s, but they're going to do it again now. And our bank accounts are going to be switched over to this digital world currency, which will be a blockchain currency. Now, blockchain means that if I sell you a car, there will be a record of me, the date, the amount, and who I sold it to, and various other pieces of data. that will be established as a permanent record in the worldwide digital currency system or banking system. Now, the guy that I sold the car to sometime later decides to put new tires on it. A blockchain sale is made on the thing where I sold him. Down the page from that will be, and the new owner bought tires this day from such and such a vendor. And it gives a record from there on that transaction that I sold the car to, all the way down to current date. And it can be like, okay, maybe I got money from somebody from a poker game. That will have to be assigned to me by a digital blockchain command, because they're not using currency when this happened. I can see that our dollars that we've got in a bank and savings account, whatever, are going to be useless to us if we don't convert over to the digital money system. Now, at this point, converting over to the digital money system, I do not think fulfills a prophecy about giving, worshiping the beast or the Antichrist to this age and taking his number or his mark. It might be. I mean, it's very close. I don't know who the guy is that's in charge of all this. Oh, by the way, Mohammed bin Salman over in Saudi Arabia, he has a bank, a big bank investment in blockchain and software for blockchain. So he may be controlling all that, and we may see him pop up as the Antichrist. I don't know. But all these things kind of fell into place in my mind as I read this article.
I went through the 13 and a half hours of World Economic Forum footage, which made me want to rip my brains out. But Pippa Malgram, that you referenced, okay, who spoke there, I played that video clip within that 13 and a half hours of stuff. And you're exactly right. This is exactly what they are going to do. And the attempt, of course, is this panopticon of surveillance, all digital transactions. You won't be able to really do anything outside of that. Which is why, of course, parallel economies are they're trying to get parallel economies moving. But of course, as you state, you know, it's going to be, well, those guys are terrorists. So, but anyway, go ahead.
Well, you know, America's going to suffer. It is, I'm sure, the modern Babylon that the Bible speaks of, you know, because we deal with so many nations, you know, give us your tired, your poor, your hungry, of all nations, all religions, and all languages, where we've become a Tower of Babel, a country. When we're weakened by this global economic collapse, in addition to the inflation we've got, in addition to the diseases we've got, you know, ad infinitum, when we are so weak, China and Russia know it's the best time to attack us because we won't be able to defend ourselves adequately. I'm sure there'll be some defensive moves made with our military, but we're going to go down. And to me, I think this indicates that we're going to be seeing the rapture of the Christians on the planet occur at that time or just before that time. And I stress the fact that in the Bible where it says to the bride, to the believers of Jesus, don't participate, you know, in Babylon, be not partakers of her sins or of her punishments. And it says, come out of her. Well, I translate that come out, it can also mean come up out of, which might mean the rapture, which occurs just before the destruction of Babylon. Anyway, just a point. Slide 57, Eric and Doug. This is out of Dallas Love Field Airport. They've been putting in these units that are spying units, actually. They've got cameras on all sides. You can see in the picture in that article to get to it. 7-foot robots deployed to Love Field to spot unmasked travelers and curbside loiterers. And I'm sure anything else that strikes their fancy. But these things, you can see in the picture, the SCOT, that's a security control observation tower, it's got cameras at the top and on the side. And I don't know what other detection equipment might have, but you can see on the left of the picture, there's people going up the escalator, going up to, you know, probably the flight decks, you know, to the gates. And so if you're going to the gates, you're going to pass this, it's going to pick you up. And it's got one looking through the window, in this particular case, out to the area where you check in. So it's going to be scanning, allegedly, for, are you wearing your mask, or are you just hanging around and you might be a potential terrorist? But it's just like Big Brother is everywhere and he's growing rapidly. You hook this into an intelligent AI computer, face recognition, and wow, you know, don't even blow your nose in public. I mean, it's going to be a record everywhere.
Well, you can, I can say pretty much guaranteed. I mean, so if they're testing them there, they're going to be everywhere soon, you know, or some variation of this. And they're already doing the facial recognition. They're already doing, I mean, they're so far ahead in what they're telling us, what they're doing. It's, I don't know if people are surprised at what happens. They shouldn't be, but because watching you, listening to you, you've done the research and you know what's, you've warned us. So,
you know, I look at the beast in Revelation and I suppose it's a person, but I think about the movie, Forman, the Colossus experiment or project, where they had a supercomputer controlling the world, it got it into all phone lines, all, you know, computers and everything. But what we've got with artificial intelligence now is something that you can't argue, that we need a quick response to global situations, because we're not talking about like war over a period of months or years where you move your armies here and there and, you know, fly over and bomb each other, that kind of stuff. We're talking about war that is over in 30 seconds. You know, the launch, the arrival, and the blast, and, you know, the best guy wins. So when we have a situation like that, we need to be able to have surveillance of, you know, orbital missile systems, releases from satellites over the Pacific and Atlantic, submarine presence, and, you know, communications things that that the Defense Department can monitor. All these things need to be analyzed real time, and a human or a group of humans just can't do it. Not accurately. So what we're needing is a program put into a computer with artificial intelligence to say, ah, you've seen a missile launch over here. Therefore, what do we do? Do we check our missile system's readiness, or do we see if there's any more coming? Do we warn the population? By the time I can say that, it will have reviewed the situation a billion times and made its decision. So we need that. But the unfortunate side, the downside, is that we're giving authority to that super beast computer to run our lives and to turn on us, be used by someone else. And I've been warning about this, good Lord, since 1974, in home meetings and church meetings, and eventually in the book, The Cost of Conspiracy. And, you know, I kind of go, and that's a situation that I warned about, yawn, you know, 50, 40 years ago, whatever. It's just, I'm sitting here watching it happen, and it's a hollow victory to say, I told you so, because I'm right in the middle of it. Nobody, not enough people have listened to that.
Yeah.
You know, sorry, go on.
No, you know, I know the feeling, and I hope everyone understands here too, that the only way out of this is through belief in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And that's the only way that we're going to win on this. Look, I'm not an evangelist, okay? I'm not a preacher. I'm just a guy. But I know you can see the proverbial, you know, writing on the wall, right? And there it is. So thank you for preparing the masses, or at least attempting to sound the alarm bells.
Well, I've been doing that. You've been doing it for many years, but there are people I still talk to, even in the family, children and things, that say, well, they go to church and they take the kids to church. Some of them do, not all of them. And, you know, we believe. But have they said to Jesus, you know, come indwell your spirit in me so that I can come with you as part of the bride in the rapture, deliver me from this, so I don't have to experience the tribulation period, the traumas and terrors of it, and be killed for my faith at that time, because I wasn't tuned into Jesus at the time. It's just a lot of people think that they are going to be delivered from this, and they haven't yet said to the Lord, like you'd say to him standing right next to you, like a brother, or, well, like a king too, but you'd say, look, this is me, and boy, I see a lot of things happening that are fulfilling prophecy, and it is frightening out there. I know you're not giving us over fear. We shouldn't be given over to fear, so can you help me? You know, can you protect me? Can you, you know, carry me down the beach when all the troubles occur that I can't handle? And that's the important thing to me. all the other things, the date of the rapture is okay sometime, and sometime soon. And other than that, people need to just stop thinking that they do this by rote attendance of church events or Sunday school and sermons, and that takes care of them. They've got to take an active relationship. I know I'm sounding a bit churchy and preachy and stuff, but I really think it's time that we don't hold back. We at Amen. Least yeah. give the option to our families and friends.
That's right.
Anyway. Where to go next? Ah, well, since we're on the topic here, let's look at slide 53. Eric, if you can pull that up. Slide 53 is about a poll that was run. This is in an Israel.com website. Exclusive new poll finds 103 million Americans, including many Jews, agnostics, even atheists, see the COVID pandemic as a sign of biblical prophecy and of the last days. I wonder if that includes the several million illegals that have come in recently. Oh, well, anyway, just a side thought. The survey, let me just see if I can scroll down the article here. There was a breakout of those things. Okay. New poll finds stunning 40%. That was 103, now 103 million. Believe the Russian invasion of Ukraine is a biblical sign of the last days. Well, that's in addition to the COVID thing. Let's see here. In fairness, in this poll, it said about 41% of the people polled said they disagreed that this is a sign of the end times and whatever. You know, they're entitled to their opinion. Hope it's a good opinion. But another 18-19% said they don't know. You probably haven't even heard of the prophecies and the revelation of John and these things, but a revelation to John. But anyway, this poll is rather good.
The enormous, and it does say that that's an enormous number, some 103, like you said, 103 million Americans believe that COVID, as they put it, is a sign of the last days. And I can't say I disagree. I think that we're seeing many elements, as you point out every week, many elements involved in what would be termed the last days. Described as.
Further on down that article, it says by religion, 5.1% of atheists don't even believe in God. Agreed the COVID pandemic is a biblical sign of the last days. Duh. Wow.
But how does that even work, though? If you don't. Yeah. Okay.
Oh, and 9.7% of agnostics agree as well. 28% of self-identified secular Americans agree. 25% of Jews say they agree. 40% of Catholics say they agree. 53% of all Protestants agree. And 66% of evangelical born-again Christians agree. That's just by religion. So you can see the Catholic Church and the evangelicals and Protestants across the board are agreeing that this is the end days, that COVID does play that. And by race, this is interesting. The highest believing in this poll about the COVID situation in end days, 61% of African-Americans agree. 57% of Asian Americans agree. Only 37% of whites agree. And only 34% of Hispanic Americans agree. Now, that's just weird. I mean, we're almost the lowest category, you know, of agreeing with this by race. You know, and then by age, this is interesting. By age, the young people, 37% of 18 to 29 agree that this is the end days sign. 51% of the people between 30 and 40 also agree. Now, that's the highest age group that believes that this is, you know, the end time sign. And then when you're 41 to, say, 55, you're 40% of people agree. And as you get older, 35% of the people over 65 agree. And that just astounds me as well, because the older ones should have been exposed to biblical prophecies and that kind of stuff a long time ago. You know, anyway. Oh. Hmm. Yeah, politicians, political affiliations. Okay, and this is no surprise. 47% of Republicans agree this is an end time sign, this COVID thing and the Ukraine and that. only 38% of Democrats agree. Now, Republicans are the highest ones. The lowest ones are independents, 33%. Americans who voted for Biden, 39% of them, I think, that were in the end times. So anyway, that article you can click on at your leisure and go down and look at all the rest of the stuff. But
pretty interesting.
It is, isn't it? I mean, I'm glad they broke it out, you know, because normally a poll says, you know, this is the poll, people thought this. Well, which people? What relates? What religion? You know, just breaking it down like that gives you a feel of where the believers in the United States are, and what their ethnic, their political, you know, their religious beliefs are. And it's just really quite interesting in that you might have thought that all white Americans would have been, you know, supporting this, but it's not so. And these results can be quite revealing.
Just one comment about the age. I think that there is, for those people who don't follow like the alternative, the new media, I think people have a tendency to say, oh man, I've seen this before. You know, it's the same thing over and over again. You know, it's the end of the world all the time. And they build up this kind of a resistance to what I would call new information or the truth, or at least look at it a little bit differently than they have in the past. So, tell you what, folks, get out your Bible, read your Bibles, and get back to us. Go ahead, sir.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I look at these things, and I guess in my younger days, I might have been concerned about the events happening and how close, you know, nuclear war is and that kind of stuff. But since I became a believer and signed on with Jesus, I said, look, you know, I'll talk to you every day, and I'd like to have a hot shower every day and a safe place to live. Well, you know, every day when I take my hot shower, I said, thank you, Lord, for another day on earth to serve you and another hot shower, because that is such a luxury and I appreciate that. But I never hear a voice come back and say things to me, but I do pray about things, and I see events happening to answer my prayer. And I think, wow, you know, he not only listened, but he fixed the situation in a manner I could never expect it. So I just encourage people, make it a personal relationship. You don't expect an answer, but he's there.
No, and you know, I people who do expect an answer, I'm sorry, I don't know. The only voice I hear if I'm taking the hot shower is, did you let the dog out? Okay. Anyway.
Yeah, I know. Now I look at events that happen when I pray for things in various countries or in our country here, and political situations or family. And sure enough, the prayers do, I think, you know, come through these events that happen to solve the situation that I pray about. People in Ukraine and the ones that are hungry and trying to escape. There are a number of things that we've seen, actions that, okay, you know, either the Lord agrees and already was there doing it, or he's answering my prayer directly. Anyway, I digress, but let's go back over to Israel. Slide 52, I think it is. 52, yeah. Israel's government collapse was prophesied in the Talmud as a sign of Messiah. Now, the Talmud is a legal book compiled by the rabbis over the centuries, making, you know, legal rulings on various things. And in this book of laws, the Talmud, I think it's in, it's called Shet and Numbers 24:17, the Israeli Bible. And it says, a star rises from Jacob, a scepter comes forth from Israel, it smashes the brow of Moab, the foundation of all the children of Shet, blah, 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 Numbers 24:17. Okay, now, what happens if you go down to the text is Idit Silman has resigned. And you say, who's that? He was a member of Prime Minister Naftali Bennett's coalition. Now, by resigning, he's made an imbalance between the Likud party, you know, Netanyahu's party, and Bennett's party. So they're now at a 60-60 split. Now, if even one more of the Bennett's coalition resigns, it's going to force an immediate re-election or election there in Israel. What we're seeing is that Bennett has been in power for 9 months, And this, if you go down further down, let's see here, in Tractate Sanhedrin 98b2, the son of David, the Messiah, or Messiah, won't come until the kingdom, the evil oppressive kingdom, will propagate itself on Israel. It will oppress Israel and be numerous for 9 months. So they're relating this to the 9 months that Bennett has been in power, and he's done a lot of not good things while he's been in power. And he's even trying to make things happen that will be, you know, will ruin Sabbath and things, because people will be able to do things on the Sabbath they couldn't before. And he's violating, you know, the Torah, Talmud, by doing that. So they can even force election now at an even standstill. So Netanyahu, of course, has been prosecuted for, you know, irregularities while he's in office, spending money for feeding, you know, some guests that he and his wife had, which he said they paid for eventually, but I'm not sure. But anyway, the problem is that he's facing charges, and if they can push those charges through, like they're trying to do with Trump, you know, and say he's a bad guy and, you know, he did wrong things with, you know, post-election and various other things they're going to try to pin on him, it means that he can't run for office. Netanyahu can't, and Trump can't, if these prosecutions are brought to a decision in the courts. It would be a violation of Israeli and American law if a criminal, you know, technically speaking, tried to run for office. Now, I just, you know, this is Jewish news, you know, 365news.com, and they're talking about, from a Jewish point of view, that, you know, there's going to be a new election and there's a crisis in Israel and crime and, you know, a shortage of wheat and stuff, and people objecting to various things being done by that at the ports there. And Bennett has said bringing leavened bread into hospitals during the holidays, you know, feed people during Pesach or Passover. He's going to allow that, but that violates Passover, you know, health laws or seders, you know, for eating. So he's stepping outside the law of his own people. And this is going to force an election very soon. You watch. If nothing else happens, it'll just be a re-election there in Israel. And I suspect that if Netanyahu doesn't get in, at least the Likud party, his party, the coalition, will get in and perhaps return some sanity to what they're doing in Israel. We need to have a strong leader there, because Iran is targeting Israel. There's no secret about that. Russia is wanting to take out Israel as well, and they've been backing Syria and Iranian situations, and they're going to push, I'm sure, for an attack on Israel. Now, the fact that Russia is in beating us not out of Ukraine at the moment, everybody's attention is focused there. It takes our attention away from the fact that the Arab nations are getting ready to attack Israel, and the Chinese are getting ready to attack Taiwan and take it over, or at least force them to join China and be under Chinese law and rule. It's a giant chessboard, and you got to watch the left hand, the right hand, and the, you know, the forehead and whatever on the chessboard, because these guys are playing a chess game, and they've got supercomputers with artificial intelligence driving them. So when I look at what the press is pushing forward, you know, whether it be the fake media, whether it be Fox News or whatever, I look at what they're pushing the point, you know, what the main issue is for the week. And I think, what are they missing? Why are we not hearing other things about Soros and other things happening in the background? You know, if this is the main thrust, that's, they want us to look there. And I'm not saying that Fox News is bad, but I'm just saying that's the way the news is being driven. And what they assign is important. It's not always important, not the first issue.
You know, people... it's amazing. You say about Fox News, look, it's all controlled information. It's all coordinated information. There are a few outliers there, but places like OANN and other alternative or new media voices, I think, should take precedence over the echo chamber of the network media. And you know, hey, people like Tucker, great. People like Hannity, okay. That you want to go ahead, fine. But you know what? You want the real information? Go to standale.com, and I mean that. Go to standale.com. get the headlines from there. And even if you're into a little bit of self or a little bit of I don't want to say self mutilation, but even tune into the Hagman Report, especially when Stan's on. But all right, so go ahead, sir. Sorry about that.
Yeah, that's all right. That's all right. One last thing on the Middle East. This is not major issue, but slide 54. If you click on the picture, you can also read the article. It's a bunch of Palestinian terrorist rioters went into Joseph's tomb, which is in the old district of Samaria, northern Israel. They went into the tomb, burned the tombstone itself, broke the top of the casket, the stone casket over Joseph. And, it's a serious event because it's a violation of the freedom of worship in one of the holiest places for every Jew. And the Palestinians, of course, don't like that. And this is just creating more internal strife in the country. And I'm so sad to see that Joseph, he was, I guess, a man of our time, too, looking at the famine and things like that. He was in Egypt and prepared Egypt for 7 years of grain shortage and famine and water shortage. And we're faced with that now. I mean, our drought, worldwide drought, is really hitting what's going to be available on our shelves, raising the price and lowering the amount of wheat-based products and meats and things that you can buy at any price. Joseph, the ministry of Joseph, is probably what a lot of people who are Christian preppers have done. They've prepared for themselves and family and other people around as best they can.
And I've seen this before in different contexts, but not of Joseph's tomb. But you talk about another sign of the times, okay? And I don't know. It's some of the stuff just leaves me speechless, which many will appreciate. But there we go. Okay.
I made that map in 51 of Joseph's tomb in Samaria because it was Nablus or some little name like that in the article. I forget exactly what it was, but it's not a well-known area where the tomb is to the outside world. So I put that map in slide 51 with a little red locator to show where they're talking about, just north of Tel Aviv. Anyway, that was all. I just bring that point up. Now, the sun and the planets. Where do we start? Let's look at the sun and for slide 49 and click on the slide, Eric, and bring that up where you can see this coronal hole. When you see these dark spots on the sun like this, they're not sunspots, they're large openings in the outer layer of the sun, and they open up and they burst forth a lot of solar wind. Now, solar wind comes in spiral arms. This is a current one here. If we go to slide 44, Eric. Now, what slide 44 is the stereo photograph, the stereo satellite photographs over the top of the sun. We have a stereo satellite ahead of us and one behind us. Stereo A is in red, and stereo B is a blue. And the green dot on this picture is, Earth. And, of course, the yellow one's the sun. Now, if you've played with Catherine wheels or little things that you blow on and they spin around in your youth, for holidays and 4th of July, they spray out things that spin around. And it's like a water sprinkler in the yard spraying around. As water sprinkler turns, it makes a bent arm around it. And the solar wind is that kind of an event. So that coronal hole I was showing you is putting out all this green and red and stuff that you see in the top part of this thing. That it's the plasma density. And then the speed of it, you can see that the speed of the solar wind, no matter how dense it is, it's been very fast, and it's going to be fast approaching us. So coronal mass ejection, solar wind, all of these things affect the Earth. Coronal mass ejection is of more concern than just the solar wind, because it's going to occur anytime, and it's not necessarily in one of these spiral arms of the solar wind spinning around. Now, if you look at this, radial velocity near the lower picture, you can see that around the 14th to the 15th, that the velocity of the solar wind hitting us is going to be at a maximum of around 5,9600 kilometers per second. If we go back out of that one and back over to slide 43, Eric, which shows what's coming, it'll be here in 2 or 3 days. And here you'll see that the plasma density is going to hit a maximum at around, say midnight of the 14th, 2 or 3 days now, 2 days from now, I guess. And it's going to be fast, but the speed of it will be faster or more on the 15th. It's a good map to look at. There's a link down underneath these things, which takes you to the page that I was getting this data from. And it's good to go to that link at Space Weather Prediction, because you see all kinds of stuff, ultraviolet, intrusion on the Earth, the solar wind, the polar lights in the ionosphere, the sunspot numbers. In fact, let's just go to that. Go to slide 48 if you can, Eric. We've been here before. It's showing the current sunspot numbers in this solar cycle. They ended this, for March. They haven't looked at April yet. The officials predicted where the red line is. They predicted what this sunspot cycle would be like and where it would peak out. And where you see that letter 20, that number 25 down around 2026, you see that that's supposed to be when they thought this solar sunspot cycle would peak and then start to decrease. Well, they had to revise that, because where it is now, the black dots, are connected by lights, they are at 234%, 2.34 times the amount predicted for March. Now, getting into April, I can't tell at this point, because the data is not finished yet for April, whether April is going to make this black dot for a forecast for, the deviation from the predicted model, if it's going to go up further even. If it does, the predictors and me, we're all going to be concerned and surprised, because officially the prediction committee that does the prediction said, look, we're going to wait 6 weeks, after March and see whether, after it started deviating so that would be around February, March. And they're going to wait 6 weeks before they look to revise their predicted sunspot activity and the peak of it. They think it might go down. That black line graph will go back closer to their predicted red line forecast. So even they are not positive. It's a committee that meets with several factors that they consider to determine what this solar cycle will be like. And, they're just humans and their estimates can be wrong. Wow. And if you click on that slide, 48's text, it takes you back to the same page that I took you to just a couple of seconds ago.
Yep.
And you can see where I got this, and you can look at it, every day to see what's been updated. It has so much information in there about the sun that you need to know. So if you go to that Space Weather Prediction Center swpc.noaa.gov, anyway, you can see that there in the image if you click on it.
And I got to say, thanks to you, that site kind of sucks me in, okay? It really does. And hey, honey, did you get the EMP protector in the shipments today? I'm telling you, folks, it's common.
Good point. I guess I forget to tell people that. Thank you for reminding them, because these events from the sun, just the coronal mass ejections, if they're aimed at the Earth, are going to be pretty painful. We had a dead sunspot number, active regions 2987 on the sun, right? At slide 50, if you click on the text, it'll take you to spaceweather.com, slide 50. And on that page, you'll see an animation of an S-shaped magnetic filament exploding, and it's from what we thought was a dead spot on the sun, not going to produce any more sunspots or eruptions or whatever, at least this monthly cycle. But as you can see, that blast was aimed straight at the Earth, straight at the camera. Not a pleasant thing. Now.
Wow. Just looking at that kind of, I don't have the warm fuzzies. Again, EMP Shield.com promo code Hagman. Also, on your grocery list, SPF 1000 for your skin. And goodness. Okay.
Wow. The Bible does tell us that the sun is going to have a cloud just form around it, the surface, dim the light of the sun. And then this is going to break free and there's going to be a brilliant blast of light and energy from the sun moving out through the solar system and hence through us that is going to burn one third of the planet that's facing it at that moment. It's going to last maybe, a minute, 2 minutes, 30 minutes to an hour tops. And it's going to boil that side of the earth that's facing it. And to do that, you need to see instabilities in the corona, what we're seeing there on the sun. And that's what we've been studying in all these graphs at SDO and at NOAA here. We're getting close to a point where something drastic is going to happen on the surface of the sun. It's already starting. And we're way ahead of the predicted sunspot cycle. You don't have to have a lot of sunspots to have an eruption of significant value from the sun facing us. As I said last week, sunspot solar cycle count counts the number of those little black magnetic separate, eruption areas, active regions on the sun. It doesn't count the area of these things. And the area, you could have three sunspots that covers a third of the sun, let's say. So it's misleading to say how many sunspots, but look at the pictures, the images, and see what surface area these things are covering. And that's where you see the real story about what's about to happen. Slide 46, April the 9th, 3 days ago. And this is an animation that shows something here. Did I hit the right button? No, maybe there. Hit the text, and it'll take you to the Helio viewer, which is another satellite thing, and look at that, click on it and play it, and it shows time-lapse photography of a huge thing that occurred on the 9th of April. Fortunately, it was behind our position here, so things going around the eastern or the right side of the sun that you see, things going around there are going to reappear facing us in about 21 days, 3 weeks. So if that had been facing our direction, I'm sure it would have probably would have caused a lot of radio interference, and probably a couple of satellites might have eventually fall down.
Alternatively, it looks like when Eric the Tech has Taco Bell for lunch, but I digress. But no, that is...
you gotta laugh.
Yeah, but you know what? To me, this is like serious, okay? Because
fire sauce.
Oh my gosh! But think about that. What would that? So I mean, if that hit the Earth, that would. Well, would we even be talking?
Yeah, I think it's going to have to be bigger than that. But that was pretty impressive. So.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
And. To tell you that the sun is heating up and changing, you look at the planets. I mean, I've got Jupiter, Saturn. I don't know whether I put Neptune up there. It was a very critical thing on that one. But let's look at something, slide 44, I think it is. Something I didn't realize was that the solar wind, those spiral arms going out, they hit the planets, all right? But when they hit Jupiter, they hit up toward the North Pole in particular, and there's one cloud belt there that reacts and takes the solar wind energy into the planet and starts to heat it up. And, Jupiter is heating up. It's got a power engine being developed there in the rings. Jupiter's polar aurorae, the auroras, are the largest and most powerful known in the solar system. And O'Donohue, the guy that wrote the article, says the energy in these aurorae, these charged particle things, the blue in that picture, if you look at slide 41, the blue ionized top of the of Jupiter, caused as Jupiter's atmosphere is buffeted by charged particles in the magnetic field, and they're strong enough to heat other atmospheres of the entire planet, the other atmosphere, you know, other layers of it. So what we're seeing there in Jupiter is that it is winding up and heating up because of the sun. And there have been reports, you can click on the text in both of those slides in 41 and 45 to get more information on that. On slide 40, how much time we got left?
We have about 4.5 minutes, Stan.
Okay, I better speed along. On slide 40, you can look at the progression. Click on the picture from 2006 to 2020 for the Neptune for its heat distribution. And you can see the South Pole is getting hotter there. And they show this curve about, you know, where the temperature is, and it's going back up now then. It lowered, and I don't know why it lowered in that 2015 period, unless it was part of, I don't know, the end of the solar cycle 24. That might have been a cause of it. But what I did was just investigate planets and their current temperature anomalies. What I want to discuss in 3 minutes is about the legendary Mu and the location of it, and also the asteroid impacts and what they've done. Look at slide 39. It's an elevated picture of the Pacific Ocean, and you can zoom in on it. But before you do, I want you to, just as a casual observer, look at where the islands are formed. And you see the islands are submerged, but they're over in the West Pacific. Are they on the Atlantic? Very few tiny little islands. When the Earth expanded and started stretching, you know, Pangaea and breaking it apart, you would have thought that the islands would have been in all the places where you have a rift, or, you know, the ridge in the North Atlantic and that kind of stuff. But if you zoom in on Australia, I've got a path of arrows showing that something hit, the Kutupai asteroid hit and shoved India up into where it is now. But the arrows show that the inertia and the path of that asteroid, that huge asteroid, went over through and underneath New Guinea, and it shoved portions of the Philippines, you know, out in toward Hawaii. And Hawaii was actually back over connected close to New Guinea. The Pacific Ocean is not what they're showing today, you know, as far as bathymetry, like for a continent or anything like that. And so people have been trying to say that Lemuria or Mu was located, you know, in the middle of the Pacific Ocean. But the mud maps don't show a continent. They show ridges and islands. Now, if you click on slide 52 real quick and click over Australia again, you will see that the islands all the way up to China and Japan are from the impact that blasted the crud out of Indonesia, which was Mu, you know, Lemuria. And that was Indonesia fractured and part of New Guinea fractured and sent out into the Pacific. So you can see just by looking, using your eyes to the mud map of what happened. And later, if you get time, go back over to that mud map that we were just at in slide 39 and see, zoom in on, you know, like China and that kind of stuff. You'll see that I have some little arrows up there that are coming down from China and to the painting, one pointing to the east. This is showing other asteroids hit in that same area, which further affected the distribution of the broken up landmass that was probably Indonesia. So anyway, I just wanted to clear that up for folks.
Well, Stan, I want to tell you that your research about this, and you know, locating the Garden of Eden to your research on Pangaea and all of this, to me, is cutting edge. And every week it seems like you show something that verifies or reinforces your previous findings. And I want to thank you for that. And folks, I would urge everyone to go to standale.com. Their books, DVD, flash drives, CDs. Get educated as to what's going on here, because the earthly changes reflect, of course, the signs of the times. And you do such a great job. It's an honor for me to be able to sit here and to listen to you talk about this. And I thank you for that. I really do. And I mean that from the heart.
Appreciate it. Thanks for the opportunity.
All right.
I really want to share people, you know, to say, look, you guys, you can look at these mud maps and things, and you can, as an individual, untrained, you don't have to be, you know, some super scientist, just look at the bottom of the ocean and pieces and look at where they came from.
Amen to that. And folks, again, standale.com. Make sure you join their Patreon. Make sure you get there to prepare Cosmic Conspiracy, all the books, DVDs you can. You will thank me later. God bless you. EMPShield.com as well. Promo code Hagman. Stan, thank you so very much. God bless, my friend. Have a good night.